Welcome to Dark Corners with David Allan Voiles. Dark Corners is brought to you by Gestalt Media, an independent publishing company dedicated to serving independent artists. Dark Corners is a horror podcast and may not be suitable for all listeners. Therefore, discretion is advised. Season 2 consists of episodes written and narrated by David Allan Voiles, based on a story suggested by the Halloween-themed musical work Witch Works, created by dark ambient musician Mombi Uhlman. The 13th episode concludes the season in October of 2020. Chapter 5, Extracting the Razor Blades. "You want another beer?" Daniel asked as he approached the fridge. "No, I'm good, thanks," Laura said. She smiled sadly as she watched Daniel open the bottle and return to his seat on the couch. "So you're saying the sheriff... what's his name again?" Laura asked. "Kobritz," Daniel answered. "Right, Kobritz. He says they know for sure the bones are human." Daniel nodded and took a sip of his beer. "Yeah. Enough to account for at least 20 children." Laura grimaced. "So far," he added. Daniel set his beer on the coffee table in front of him and stared at it. "Did he say how old they were?" Laura asked. "Anywhere from 2 to 8 years old," Kobritz said. "Well, actually, I didn't mean the ages of the children. I mean how long ago they died. If they were all killed recently, they couldn't all be from Maria Bay. The deaths of that many children from one small community would have been huge news. On a world scale, even. Which would mean, then, that some psycho was bringing the bodies here from who knows where," Daniel said. "No, from what I gathered, these bones have been there a while. At least, most of them. They're still in the act of trying to match DNA from the fresher ones to the more recent deaths, but it seemed like, most likely, these children were all from here." Daniel shook his head, picked up his beer, and walked over to look out the open front door. Laura made a move to get up, but then hesitated. She sat in silence for a while, giving him some emotional as well as physical space. "Are you all right?" she asked finally. He stood looking out into the darkening front yard before answering. "I'm not sure," he said, without turning around. He seemed on the verge of saying more, but then remained silent. Laura stared at his back for a moment and then stood and came over to stand beside him. She looked at him with concern and rubbed his shoulder. "Would you like to sit out on the porch for a while?" Daniel nodded and pushed the screen door open for her to exit first, and they seated themselves in the two rockers positioned so that they could look easily out over the entrance road and the cornfields. The blinking lights of the fireflies against the darkening backdrop of the road and fields created a tranquil scene perfect for an oil painting. "Talk to me. I know this is unsettling. It would be for anyone. But it seems like there's something more bothering you." Daniel took another sip of his beer and sighed. "Oh, don't really have to be a shrink to tell that, huh?" Laura smiled at him. "But I might be able to help. What is it?" Daniel stared at the bottle he was holding and worked at the corner of the label with his thumbnail. "I keep thinking about those damn apples." "You hadn't found more of them, have you?" Laura asked. No, thank God. But in spite of what we talked about, I'm not sure that it's necessarily the work of a stalker. Daniel looked at Laura and saw that she was alarmed. I don't think you did it, he added quickly. I just keep coming back to the idea that... He paused and took a drink. When he didn't volunteer more, Laura finished for him. That maybe you did put those blades in yourself. He nodded. That's what makes the most sense, he said, feeling a sense of relief that the wall that had been keeping those words inside him had crumbled. There just isn't any reason for anyone to be doing this to me. And even though we've seen some pretty crazy things in the factory, I find it hard to believe some ghost is physically able to sneak around and put the apples out for us. He reached over and took her hand and squeezed it. And I know it's not you. She squeezed back and smiled. I feel like we've got something very special, very real here, he continued. And that's why I hate to mention these thoughts. I'm afraid I'm going to spoil that. And yet, I'm terrified that there's something really wrong with me. I mean, if I'm setting these apples up subconsciously, well, that's just fucking sick. Even if that's the case, Laura said, rubbing her thumb over his, it's not necessarily as bad as you're thinking. Look, you've had a lot of emotional stress to deal with. Your father's death has brought back a lot of pain that you've carried around for a long time. It's really not a stretch to imagine that you could have internalized a lot of the feelings of inadequacy and guilt that your father saddled you with. In fact, it would be even more remarkable if you hadn't. But that's something that can be dealt with and treated. Daniel blew out a big breath and smiled. Sure you're not thinking, oh, hell, what have I gotten myself into? And Laura chuckled. Well, yeah, I'm thinking that, I'm not going to lie. I mean, ghosts and black cats that have led us to piles of bones, for Christ's sake. She leaned in and kissed him. But I'm not going anywhere. Daniel looked deeply into Laura's eyes. So, can you help me? He asked softly. Yes, definitely. But ethically, it wouldn't be right for me to be your therapist, given our status. I can connect you with one of my colleagues, Don Franklin. He's great. Daniel tightened his lips and nodded. Sensing his disappointment, Laura added, But there's something I can do now that might help if you're game. What? Hypnosis. Daniel's eyes widened. If you are indeed planting these booby traps for yourself, we might be able to find that out by digging down into your psyche a bit. You're not going to make me cluck like a chicken or walk into McDonald's naked, are you? Laura laughed. Of course not. She stroked his hair. It's good to see you making jokes again. Oh, I'm not kidding, Daniel said in mock seriousness. I'm on shaky ground with my neighbors as it is. You can trust me. In fact, that's why I'm suggesting I do this instead of leaving it to Don or another therapist. For hypnosis to work effectively, you need to have established a genuine sense of trust. It would take some time to develop that with someone else, and I feel like you need an answer sooner than that. Definitely. When can we do this? Laura shrugged. As soon as you want. Tonight, if you're willing. Right now. Daniel studied her and then drained the remainder of his beer. Let's do this. Okay, then. I suggest that if you need a bathroom break, you do that now and then we can get started. Oh, hell, how long is this going to take? Oh, not that long. 45 minutes to an hour, maybe. Maybe longer, depending on how long it takes to get you relaxed and into a receptive trance state. A trance state? Oh, that just means a state where you're really relaxed and engaged, able to shut out all the extraneous stuff. Like when you get into a really good book and you're not even aware how much time has passed. or when you've been thinking about something while driving and then realize you can't remember making the turns to get you where you are. She smiled. It's not like the movies. No swinging pendulums or look into my eyes bullshit. She stood and said, let's both take a break, and then I'll go over what to expect and how we're going to go about this. 10 minutes later, Daniel was stretched out on his couch with his head propped on a pillow on one arm of the couch. Laura sat in an easy chair near his head. Well, if this isn't the classic psychiatric picture, I don't know what is, Daniel said. The main idea is for you to be as relaxed as possible, Laura said. I want you to understand exactly what I'm doing and to know that I'm not springing any surprises on you. Right now, I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm going to do. I can't make you do anything or say anything you don't want to. You'll be more receptive to suggestions if we're successful, but that doesn't mean you've lost control. Okay, cool, Daniel said. First of all, I'll be getting you into a calm, hypnoidal state by getting you to relax as you count backwards from 10 to 1. I'll use some imagery to help you do that, and then I'll be guiding you into deeper states and checking to see if you're indeed receptive to suggestions. Nothing heavy, just some physical things like lifting up one hand or answering a question. I'll help you recall some things from your past, and you might be surprised by the vivid memories you experience. But I'll be guiding you throughout, calming you if necessary if I can sense you getting uncomfortable or agitated. The goal will be to walk you back in time so that we can see if you remember placing the apples by your nightstand or planting them in the picnic basket. What if I can't remember doing that? Well, then we're no worse off than we are now. And likely better, because regardless, I can help you with some suggestions that can calm you when you get anxious and lessen the chances of you doing potentially self-destructive things in the future. Sound good? Great, Doc. Let's go. Okay. Well, first, I want you to close your eyes and to picture yourself alone at a beautiful lagoon with clear blue water, a beach with white sand, and a gentle warm breeze. Nod if you've got this image in your mind. Daniel nodded, and Laura continued. Okay, I'm going to count backwards from 10 to 0, and with each number, I want you to imagine walking into the water. The water's going to feel wonderful when you step in. Not too cool, not too warm, just perfect. The deeper you go, the more wonderful it feels. It will actually feel like it's comforting anything that hurts, relaxing everything that's tense, healing anything that's sick. You will reach a point where you're totally submerged, but you'll find that you can breathe underwater with no problem. The healing water will fill your lungs and body and make you feel incredibly comfortable and healthy. Nod if you understand. Again, Daniel nodded, and Laura proceeded. With each number I say, you're going to let yourself sink further down, taking another step into the wonderful water of the lagoon. The further down you go, the more comfortable and relaxed you feel. When I reach 0, you'll be in a deep, comfortable trance. You will still hear nothing but my voice. I will guide you through some memories, and then I will begin to count from 0 to 10, bringing you up to a fully conscious state again. Are you ready? Daniel nodded. Okay, here we go. When I say 10, take your first step into the water. Laura paused. 10. Feel how the water flows over your bare toes and laps over your ankles. Feel the smooth sand on the bottoms of your feet. During the next 10 minutes, Laura counted down to 0, making relaxation suggestions with every step until Daniel was immersed in his image of the magical lagoon water. When she had reached 0, she began asking him about specific memories, like his 6th birthday, his first day of college, and then the day that he and Laura met. All of those memories he described back to her with incredible detail. but in the midst of his description of their first encounter with the ghostly steps in the toy factory ruins, Daniel stopped talking mid-sentence. "Daniel, are you all right?" No response. "Daniel, nod if you can hear my voice." No response. "Daniel, I'm going to start counting from 0 to 10 now, and I want you..." Daniel interrupted her. His eyes were now open, and he looked directly at Laura and grinned. "Well, well, well. The professor's got himself a pretty little girlfriend. And a doctor, no less." The tone and cadence of Daniel's speech was totally different than the speech he had used to describe his memories. "Daniel, what do you see?"
"Danny's not here, Mrs. Torrance," Daniel said, bending his forefinger like a puppet talking as he croaked out that message, and he laughed in a way Laura had never heard him do before. She sat staring at him, unsure of exactly what to do since she had never had a client act that way under hypnosis.
"What's the matter? Didn't you ever see The Shining?"
"Daniel, tell me what's going on. Why are you talking like this?" Laura asked.
"Told you, girlie. Dan's not here. We don't need any bad apples like him around here. It's just you and me."
Laura felt goosebumps rise on the back of her neck at the mention of bad apple. "Who am I speaking with?"
"The name's Frank."
"Frank Thompson?"
"None other."
"Why are you here?"
"I need to get the boy's attention. Figured you could help me."
"Did you put the apple with the razor blade on his nightstand?" Daniel smiled.
"Worked, didn't it?"
"That depends," Laura said. "What was that supposed to do?"
"Told you. Get his attention."
"Why do you need his attention?" Daniel stopped grinning and sat up. He leaned over toward Laura and said,
"'Cause he's got to take his place."
"Take his place? What do you mean?"
Daniel's head jerked back and his eyes rolled up into his head. His body shook for a few seconds and then he fell back so that his head rested on the pillow on the couch once again.
Laura gripped his shoulder and shook it gently.
"Daniel, can you hear me?"
Daniel's eyes opened, but he stared vacantly at the ceiling rather than looking at Laura. He began to murmur, but Laura couldn't make out what he was saying.
"Daniel, listen to me," she said. "You need to picture the lagoon again. You're drifting in the fresh, cool water, but now you're ready to come back out onto the shore. I'm going to start counting, and you're going to
burn it. Burn it all down."
"Burn what, Daniel?" Laura asked Daniel, gripping his shoulder again.
"Is something burning now?"
Even as she spoke, she detected the faint scent of smoke and she scanned the living room to see if there was a fire.
"What's burning, Daniel?"
"He's got to go. It's all got to go. Must burn it all."
"Burn what, Daniel?"
Laura looked desperately into Daniel's dazed eyes.
"Who is this? Who am I talking to?"
The smell of smoke was stronger, and an orange light danced on the walls of the living room as if there were a fire in the empty fireplace, but there was no fire.
"He's gone too far. Too many. Too many lost. Must burn it all."
"Who's gone too far?"
"O'Bannon. I can't do it anymore. No more. No more. Burn it. Burn it down."
Daniel's head snapped back as before and he collapsed again onto the pillow. Rather than immediately trying to bring Daniel back up out of his trance, Laura waited. When Daniel's eyes opened again, he turned to look at her, sat up once more, and smiled.
"Daniel?"
"No, lass. I'm not Daniel.
Nor Frank, nor Jack. But I've got a message for your lad."
"What is it?" Laura asked. Instead of responding, Daniel just looked at her and smiled. Behind her, a book flew across the room, smashing into the photos on the opposite wall, causing them to fall and break. The beer bottle Daniel had set on the coffee table flew off on its own accord, smashing against the brick wall above the fireplace. Daniel just continued to stare at Laura and laugh, even as his eyes rolled up into his head, leaving only the whites. Laura knelt in front of Daniel and gripped both of his shoulders, and he stopped laughing and closed his eyes. "Daniel, listen carefully to me. I'm going to count to 10, and you're going to rise up out of the water, out of your trance. When I reach 10, I'm going to clap my hands, and you'll be fully awake and totally yourself again." Daniel had stopped laughing, and his eyes were closed. As Laura counted, he frowned and shook his head slightly as if he were clearing his head. When she said 10, he opened his eyes. Seeming a bit dazed, he looked around the room. What happened? He asked in his usual voice. How did the pictures fall? Before Laura could answer, a deep laugh rang out, and a voice that only she recognized said,
"Now the gates are open."
That concludes this episode of Dark Corners with David Allan Boyles. Music for Dark Corners was written and performed by Mombi Yulman and can be purchased at mombiyulman.bandcamp.com. For my latest projects, you can always find information at my official website, davidallanboyles.com. And I invite all of you to join our Dark Corners Facebook group, where you can find background information on posted stories, previews of upcoming stories, and all kinds of other dark content. Hope we meet again soon in the Dark Corners.